This is so unnecessary. Why would we start with this song? It's uncalled for, and I won't put up with it. I'm not going to accept this.
I know. I know you recommended that song.
I swear, dude, that was not me. Yeah, I was expecting AC/DC or the
Stones.
No,
you weren't.
I was. I'm telling you, I did not play this song.
Dude,
I'm telling you.
We had to tape something earlier, and I know you've seen my getup, and you apparently had quite a liking for it. And I know you told Mullen to put that song on.
I'm telling you, I did not. Tell him you can ask Mullen. Mullen's got access to the mic. I wouldn't do that. Because you know I have no self-control. I was just talking to myself for 10 minutes saying, get it together. Don't do it. Don't call him muchacho.
Hombre. One tough hombre.
Because it's great to have you back. New wing. Who dis? You got the new shoulder. And I'm shocked you're back. I'll give you credit.
Yeah.
I took a week off. When I got the knee surgery, I was out. And you're grinding, so you're back, and it's all good. And listen, you got to make some sacrifices, but I think you're feeling good, looking good, sounding good. It's good to have you back.
Well, yeah. It's like I told you about the 5XL. I'm not wearing that. I mean, this is a tough one, too. This is my wife's shawl or whatever. Yeah, it's,
it so looks
I'm
great.
Like, I got to cover up the shoulder. I'm not wearing the 5XL hoodie. So
that's what you got to do. You have surgery. I mean, there's not much you can do about it.
You know what? We
play
had,
your
like,
stupid
is...
music all day. If you really
I'm telling you, I didn't say to play that, and I would not put up with that. I won't have it. I don't want anything to do with
Mullen's
that.
Get on the microphone, Mullen, right now. I want to know. Did he tell you to play La Bamba?
I'm not willing to confirm or deny that.
Exactly. That means got in his ear and you said, I need to hear La Bamba coming in because that will make my
life.
If
you want full disclosure, it was me.
There
I
you
called.
Go. There
I
you
called
go.
Mulls after we just did our panties thing, and I was like, you have to start the show with some form of drop from Nacho Libre or something. Just so that we...
You start eating corn on the cob during the show and I'm done. I'm leaving. I won't be able to take it.
Get the corn out of my face.
A little bit of toast. Some toast and some corn on the cob. And
so I was
a luchador
like,
mask and you will never see me again.
Yeah,
ever. I
the
told you it wouldn't
is,
be me. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't do it because I have no self-control. I have no self-control. I butchered the Pinty's playmaker of the weekend. It was very unprofessional. Megan's probably not happy.
Nah,
Mullen wasn't happy. That's on me. And I was just having a little chat with myself. I said, let's go. We got too much stuff to get into. And I don't think...
Too much.
You know, I would do that too because I don't think you're happy with me anyway about the way things are going here with our picks in the NFL and... The way things are moving. And...
We got to get to the Leafs, but tell me how things worked out with the NFL, like with your bets and Al's brother and all of that, because I was texting you guys last night trying to figure out who won and who didn't, who covered, all of that. So where are we at right now with the NFL?
The problem is, Noodles, this guy thinks that his little hashtag Jerry King actually even the whole thing. So,
right.
And then I won Saturday. And he came back Sunday and won both games, and he started using my lines like, that's my guy, love Brucey Arians, he's my guy, and it's a fraud. So if that's, I'd maybe let the fans of the show decide, the little Jerry King thing, if that should be actually, because at the end of the day, I'm a man of my word, I'm the one that said it, so if I said it, it should be reality. I just didn't think, after all the money that I've put in your pocket, from previous bets, you would operate like that.
Listen, I put a lot of thought into it over the weekend because it's not about me, it's not about you. We are very lucky, the three of us are very lucky that we have been able to cultivate the audience that we have. You know, I think it's the best audience in the country in sports media and media, period. I put our audience up against anyone's audience anywhere in the world because they're incredible. You know, they're loyal and they are willing to show up and watch and listen and download and all that kind of stuff.
Right, right.
We don't ask for a lot. We threw it out there. We said, if you're willing to accept this challenge, hashtag Jerry King and get it trending, you know, we put that on the line and the people responded. And within 30 seconds, every city, province, you know, across the country was trending. So I'm coming at it from that angle. But with that said, as a man of integrity, I'm fine with it because we went 2-2 over the weekend. I'm still within range of breaking even. You know, we got three games left. All three games are going to have fans in the stands too. We should point that out because they had fans at Lambeau over the weekend. They've had fans in Kansas City basically all year. And they're going to have fans at the Super Bowl in a few weeks. So the fans are going to be out. The two games are going to be exceptional games. You know, basically coin flips. I think the home teams are favored by 3, 3.5. Green Bay over Tampa and Kansas City over Buffalo. But, you know, the elephant in the room right now is Mahomes. I got to believe he's going to play.
I got to ask you one thing. Do you not think the teams that are left, and especially a guy like Carlo Colaiacovo, do you remember when Durant, he kind of, the reaction when
I did too,
but it wasn't because he hurt himself. It was because I realized that the team I was supporting has such a good chance to win a Super Bowl. If you were a Bills fan watching that, you got to be thinking, oh, my God, if this guy could just stay down and not play next week, maybe we win the Super Bowl.
It's savage, but it's human instinct. And
yes.
That's like when Durant went down, we were in the building. I described it countless times the next day for weeks after that. We've all had our own takes on it. The initial reaction.
I looked right at my wife as soon as that happened. I said, the Raptors are going to win the championship.
Exactly. And that's what popped into your mind. And then it dawned on you, like, wait a minute, I don't want this guy to be hurt. We're not.
No.
I'm not
yeah,
booing anyone
side.
Here.
Right.
But
yeah.
The human element was, wow, Durant, who at that point in this town had been described as like the boogeyman. He's coming to get you. And if he plays, you got no shot. Because if he plays, Cleveland had no shot the two previous years, and I'm not sure the Raptors would have had a shot with Durant at 100%. I mean, that's the great unknown. Doesn't matter now. The Raptors got their dub and got their win, and we move on. But when he went down, that's exactly what the human instinct was from a Raptors perspective. Not saying it was right, but it was immediate. And I think you're probably onto something there, O. When Mahomes went down, and it was bad. Like, he had the woozy kind of Ron Francis, Sammy Kapanen, like, where am I? Although after the game, it sounds like he was all good. He passed everything. I'm assuming he plays. I'd be shocked if he didn't play. But, if you're the Bills, you're like, wait a minute. You know, I think the Bills have a real shot at winning anyway, the way they've been playing all year. And if Mahomes is playing, then Kansas City's favored, deserved to be favored. And Kansas City is held to a standard now that they have put forth on their own because of what they did last year. Right, spotting 21 points to Houston, spotting points to San Francisco, to Tennessee, and just saying, you know what, we're going to not only go off and win this, we're going to win by 20, 30 points. That they're in the AFC Championship game. They've lost one time all year, and it feels like they're not pulling their weight. You know, it's like, well, you didn't cover. You didn't put up 50 points. Mahomes didn't throw 5 touchdowns in a quarter, so it doesn't count.
Well,
and
that's
they just
scary
keep plugging
they
away.
Can get to that.
Exactly. That's how good it's been, and that's how good they've been. But you can't ask for anything better. And the weekend, the games had a bunch of different storylines, and, you know, there were different – it wasn't spectacular theater. Like, it wasn't great. The Packers, it was close, but it shouldn't have been. Green Bay dominated that game. And once Rodgers hit Lazard, it was over. The Bills, once they got up by 10 because of the wind and because of the way Jackson was playing and Tucker couldn't kick – you felt like that game was probably over. So really the storyline probably of the weekend was Breeze and Brady and how they've been on this highway together for like 15 years.
Yeah.
And Drew Breeze just said, you know, I'm out. This is my exit. And Brady moves on. And as cool as it was to see Brady do what he did, and that Bucs defense was phenomenal, I couldn't truly appreciate the success of Brady because of the depression that came with Breeze. Like, watching him go out like that was tough.
Well, that's the comment I don't really understand, Brian. When a guy's going to hang around till he's 41 years old, what the hell did you think was going to happen? Just complete domination? And he was going to lose by a kick in the Super Bowl? That's the only way he could go out? When you stick around that long, that's an option out there. So, I don't know. I'm kind of surprised by the surprise. Everyone's saying, man, shocked to see him go out like that. This guy's 41 years old.
Well, he threw three picks at the
Two at the end.
Two at the end.
And nobody likes to see that. He's one of the all-timers for the quarterbacks in the position. But when you stick around that long, you're putting it out there that that's the way it's going to end for you.
I thought it was kind of neat.
Change his career.
No, but you're right. Like, but what it is, though, is people – it's recency bias. People will associate Drew Brees with that last game. They'll associate that last year where they're not actually measuring the whole career and how dominant he was.
My point is the player puts that on themselves when they're sticking around that long.
You're right.
He could have went out on top and nobody would have said anything about him. It's just, okay, see you later. There's no bad memories to look at here. But when you do stick around that long, you're putting that game in your radar. You're putting that game as a chance to happen, and then that's how everyone's going to look at you going out. And the chance of everyone saying, hate to see him go out like that. Marty Brodeur did it in St. Louis where it didn't look good, it wasn't right, and it's like, man, hate to see Marty go out as a St. Louis Blue playing like that.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. I'm not disagreeing with the reality of what you're going to put yourself in. And if we've all been watching Brees all year, this has not been, you know, 2009 Drew Brees.
Right.
He has had serious injuries. He has struggled at times. He has relied more on a great defense, a great running game. Michael Thomas has not had a great year. He hasn't really been available to him nearly as much. So his safety blanket wasn't there for him. But what I'm saying is it's kind of akin to what we just talked about with Durant and with Mahomes. It's the human instinct is what I'm saying, is that, you know, I'll get to my moment where I'm like, I can't believe Brady's still doing this. And I really can't. And there's some stats that I've got that I'll run off that just put into perspective what this guy has done throughout his career that is just unparalleled. It's just the fact that I'm watching Brees live, and I'm like, there's another pick. Like, what were his numbers last night? He went 19 for 34, 134 yards and three picks. Like, that's awful. That's a terrible stat line. And it just...
The other guy could have done that. Jameis Winston could have gone in there and done
that. He could have. Winston would have been no worse. Like, there was legitimate debate, I think, among the NFL community in the fourth quarter. It's like, do you go with Jameis? Like, Brees cannot get it done. So just to watch a guy like that, you know, fall
kind of
off
limp through.
That.
Limp,
yeah, just yeah. really limp off. It's one thing to talk about it and discuss it. It's another thing to see it live. And it's not that it was unprecedented. It's not like it was shocking. It was that, for me, it took away from the spotlight of what Brady and the Bucks managed to do. And, you know, this discussion about Brees and should we have wanted more, needed more, is it somewhat of an underwhelming career, I think is the most bogus take and absolutely ridiculous when you consider what this guy's achieved throughout his career. And I think he's a victim of this GOAT conversation that is omnipresent in sports. You know, everyone's got to be Jordan. Everyone's got to be Brady. Everyone's got to match Jeter with World Series wins or you're a failure. This is a guy that is under 6 feet or barely 6 feet that still made it. This is a guy that San Diego basically said, you got to go. We're not sure you can ever play again because I believe of a shoulder injury. This is a guy that won a Super Bowl in New Orleans post-Katrina, right? And he doesn't have to explain himself to anybody, as far as I'm concerned. He's not the greatest of all time. He's not in that chat. But he's probably top 10 or top 12.
Yeah, not that
wrong with
being
amazing. Why does it have to be
more than that? Totally right about the second-tier Hall of Fame player that just gets totally no respect. It's like if you're not Tom Brady or Michael Jordan, it's like – you're not the GOAT. It's like it's almost like you're being regarded as not even a Hall of Famer anymore.
Right.
It's
ludicrous.
It's crazy. It is. It's crazy. It's Twitter talk and it's crazy talk. But it's almost like that's the only thing that gets fanfare is if you're Patrick Mahomes good, if you're Tom Brady good, Michael Jordan, Steph Curry. It's like it's LeBron. That's what dominates everything. The second tier guy that's a Hall of Fame player. It's just. Nothing.
You're at the mercy of the greatest player of all time. Like, when did this happen? You know, like, it's not, like, is Sidney Crosby not all-time great because he's not Gretzky? You know, like, no, he's still top 10 all time. What a player. I'm not going to sit there and say, well, he should have had five, you know, or he should have, how could he not have run off 8 Hart trophies in a row? Like, it's just unrealistic.
Yeah.
It's unfair, and it drags down great players when it's not deserved. You know, and it should be a celebration of what Drew Brees has done as opposed to, should have had two.
But let me ask you this. Would you have celebrated him if he decided, like, to pack it in at the injury, the rib injury. Like, you celebrate him at different points. If he decides, you know what, I can't come back, then you're like, okay, he's an amazing player. What happens is people are so emotional. They're watching him struggle last night, and they're going, nah, he's not Brady. He's not this. He's not that. Instead of going, to your point, Brian, like, just celebrate. You just watched for 15 years one of the, you know, top quarterbacks, top 20 of all time. Like,
yep.
Pretty impressive.
His name all over the stats, record right. books too, right? Touchdowns, yards,
everything. I loved the, after the game, the embrace between him and Brady, the families and him and Brady throwing the ball to his kid. That was real. I thought that was amazing. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Oh, yeah.
But like,
it was
that
cool.
was
very cool.
That was really cool because that's respect. That's and it wasn't like, you know, hey, give me a high five. Like, that was like a genuine, like, you know, respect on both sides. And Brady, you know, throws to his kids. The wife comes over, gives him a hug. Like, I thought it was fantastic. That's a longstanding relationship and respect both ways.
And by all accounts, they were there all night, and which means, you know, it doesn't matter what he says. It doesn't matter what the reports are. We're not seeing him play again. You know, like, and it's time for him to go. Too.
Right.
That's another thing. Like, with all due respect, I can't imagine the New Orleans really wants him back. That's when it gets ugly, you know, where
right.
they're like, listen, please just retire so we can move on.
It gets
here.
Ugly, Hayes, until you start sniffing around saying, who can get us into a playoff position like Drew Brees can right now, like he did this past year?
Well,
and that's where you start sniffing around saying,
Deshaun Watson might be the answer on that.
Well, yeah.
You called it, man. Like, every day it's another report. Oh, this is real. He wants out. No, this is real. Like, he's going. No, this is real. He's not going back to Houston. And, you know, I'll believe it when I see it, but I got to believe 25 teams in the league have already made a call.
Of course. And apparently now the rumors are he's not even returning calls from the organization.
That's when it gets ugly. And it's going to keep going and going and going. We got a Leaf game tonight. Leafs Winnipeg tonight. We'll tee that up. You can hear right here on TSN Radio. The Raptors are in action tonight. They're a 5-point favorite against Dallas. Luka Doncic, you know, is just a triple-double machine. But the Raps have won a couple in a row. 5-point favorite at home down in Tampa. We'll get to that. It is MLK Day down in the States, too. We've got a lot to get into on that front. And, you know, this is a special day, obviously, down in the States, but around Canada, around the world. And
sure.
it's always a great sports day, too. There's always games going on during the day, NBA, NHL, et cetera. And coming off an awesome football weekend, there's a lot cooking this afternoon. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Ray Ferraro coming up just after 5 o'clock. Marcellus Wiley in just over an hour. The Leafs are back in action tonight, and it's game 4 on the season. They're 2-1 on the year. And Winnipeg has only played once, and they got a bunch of games going this upcoming week. Patrick Laine will not play, which is disappointing. He had such a great night, opening night. And I think there's still a little bit of a battle there. There should be between Matthews and Laine and just the history between these two teams, even though it's somewhat limited because one's in the East, one is in the West.
Yeah, they never play. That's
yeah, they
what
just
it
don't
is.
Play enough, exactly. And they're going to play 10 times. Like, this is the first of 10 meetings this year. So believe me, in Toronto, you're going to see enough of Patrick Laine to make a call on how you feel about him, and vice versa with Matthews and company in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
But I am noticing we are – how many days into this? Five days into the season, and Canada is just not going to be able to keep it together. Like, people are freaking. In Edmonton, they're going nuts. In Vancouver, they're going nuts. And we're 5 days into the season. Even Toronto, like, listen, on Friday, that was a terrible effort. They didn't play well. They even – you know, a lot of the comments after the game, not really what you want to hear game two of the season, that you felt like you kind of – didn't really bring it, but they're 2-1. It's early. It's early for everybody. It's too early for full-blown panic across the country. I don't think we're going to be able to keep it together.
You're not going to be able to because it's over. The emotions, the range of emotions are so high and so low. And it's going to be like that every day because you're going to be watching the standings. Like, that's what it is. You wouldn't pay attention. Like, you'd pay attention maybe a little bit of, like, Vancouver or Edmonton. Well, now you're against them if you're a Maple Leaf or the Montreal Canadiens. And you're sitting there going, okay, are they playing well? Who's in COVID protocol? Who's this? Like, you're constantly paying attention now to all seven markets. And the one thing we've been saying it, and Hayes, you and O said it as well. Like, Ottawa's going to get points off of people. They're not going to be an easy out. They work hard, they've got structure, and they've got more talent than they had last year. You know, some nights, they're just going to, they may more look like Saturday night
Saturday
than Friday
night. The Leafs just dominated them on Saturday.
You know what's out there right now? There's no trip down to Tampa Bay, Florida, Carolina, maybe up to Washington and kind of sneak through the Northeast and hide away. Regardless if you're in the Toronto media or not, because the media always travel with you. But it's always the worst when you're like right at center stage, right in Toronto. Okay, we're going to be struggling. Let's go to Montreal next. Okay, and it's never ending as far as the focus.
That's what I think is even more significant. It's not so much about actually watching the standings.
Right.
It's that you have a connection to these markets.
Right. It's right. It's like Calgary. They could maybe slide into L.A. for 2 or 3 days, and then it's San Jose, Anaheim, and then slide over to Dallas, and you can just kind of hide. Not that the media is going anywhere, but just the focus, the ultra focus on it.
Right.
Those road trips are just not available for you. And you're right about the Leafs, Hayes. They got by on their power play game one. They totally stunk the joint out in game two, and they finally figured out in game three that if they just work and pay attention, they have a recipe to success. Their talent will score goals and overcome a team like Ottawa, who's going to work every night. And Jamie's right, they're going to get points. If Matt Murray can hold it together back there, and you can see sometimes their power play was a little bit off and times they needed to be. They're just young, and that's what young teams do. But if the Leafs want to just, as it's like the standard meeting, and that's why people in Edmonton are so frustrated. They're like, okay, we're here again. We're talking about this again, not being able to play in your own zone. Our goaltending stinks. We're giving up five. We're just not committed to details. How many times has that fan base heard that? They're sick of it.
Yeah. I mean, the Leafs are...
They're done.
I'm telling you, Edmonton and the Leafs defend the same way. Going north, and it's soft in their own zone and get pushed around. Like, the details of the game are more important now because, like you just said, every team is going to be hard. Montreal's not going to let you off the hook. Calgary, Vancouver, Winnipeg, these teams are strong, and all of them are strong. And what you do is you got your talent has to work hard, and your big boys have to deliver at the right time. Special teams, the Leafs power play has been fantastic. And you know what they got the other night? They got a couple good saves from Jack Campbell. He wasn't brilliant. He didn't have to be brilliant.
Did they ever? Seven. That Mitch Marner, he had a good night. He was all over the place, but his night would have been turned around in a
that
flat 10-second
play.
That little play to Kerfoot in his own zone that got intercepted, and it went off the knob of Campbell's stick. If that had gone in the net, Mitch Marner's night, as far as positivity, it would have been flushed down the toilet because that was such a silly little play. It was ridiculous at that particular time in the game. And he made one earlier, and he had a great night. He was making plays. He set up jumbo. He scored a goal.
Yeah, it looked really
but
good.
It could have been turned around in that silly little play.
Yeah, no, exactly. And listen, we'll see what they've got tonight. And Winnipeg is better than Ottawa. And you got Hellebuck going, and it's going to be every night. It's going to be like this. You're going to learn lessons. I do think you've got to accept for all these teams throughout the league, it was like an 8-day camp, no exhibition. A lot of teams haven't played in a long, long time. There's going to be ups and downs. That was my disappointment with Friday was that the players even admitted we kind of mailed it in or the effort wasn't good enough. The details, you miss an assignment, you know, your hands aren't up to speed, you're just not into it yet. I can give you that. Lacking effort or, you know, pushing through some adversity, that's on you as a pro. Game 1, 2, 10, 20, 50, whatever.
Yeah.
But I think overall there's been more positives than negatives. I think Jack Campbell played pretty well. He wasn't tested at all on Saturday
night. But he did what he had to do.
But he did what he had to do. It's still Freddie's net. It's going to be Freddie's net for quite some time. And the only chance there's going to be a goalie controversy in the city is not because Campbell plays so well. Like, that's not going to happen. Campbell can play as well. You want him to play great. Hopefully he gets 15 starts and gives you 12 great ones, you know, and he's going to give you a few that aren't so great. That's the nature of the position, and that's sports. But the only way this is going to be a conversation at any point is if Freddie Anderson allows it to be. You know, and that's always been the case throughout his reign here. And Freddie hasn't played well enough. You know, he didn't play great opening night. He didn't play great in Ottawa. Didn't get helped a ton, but still, you know, you give up a lot of goals through two games. People are going to get a little bit antsy based on your history.
Yep,
but
you're right.
He can shut people up real quick. You know, it's his net. Everyone knows that. It's not a controversy unless Freddie Anderson gives you two or three more starts where you're like, that's not good enough. Then I'll have that conversation. This time next week in a shortened year, maybe we do. I'm not going to have it going into tonight. Freddie's playing tonight, and he's going to play the next night. And if he stabilizes everything, you're in a good spot. You got a good tandem. That's what should be the story, and that's what you got to hope for if you're a Leaf fan.
Agreed. It's an opportunity. I think, you know, the Leafs, they started off Montreal. That was a good game. You know, it was a hard-fought game. And then Ottawa, you know, I think they took them too lightly. They weren't prepared. They didn't look good. And Ottawa came to play, and then Saturday night they knuckled down. Winnipeg will be a tough test, even though, you know, the excuses are there, right? Laine is not there. DeMello stayed home with the wife. Tucker Poolman's in protocol. Doesn't matter. They still got Scheifele, Wheeler, Ehlers, Kyle Connor. That's four as good as anybody. And then, you know, that's a team. And they got Hellebuck. Like, this is going to be a big test for the Leafs. They better be up for it because Winnipeg, they work hard. And they've only, like, to your point, Hayes, they've only played one game. And they fell asleep early on against Calgary and then got going and came back and won
that
game.
That'll benefit the Leafs because they have been a team over the last couple of years that plays up to competition and plays down to competition. Now, that's not scientific. It's not all the time.
Yeah, but Winnipeg should scare them a little bit.
Yeah, and vice versa. Like, Winnipeg should be scared by the Leafs. I mean, the Leafs have as much talent, if not more, and the Leafs are, you know, you're in their building, and we'll see what you got tonight. It's going to be a good game. I expect it to be. But I think this division, based on the nature of it, might benefit the Leafs in terms of, you know, it allows Keith to jab them a little bit. You know, you don't have Detroit coming, and we've talked about that. You know, it's not – Detroit was in Montreal last night. They're in town tonight. You're going to win 4-0. Everyone knows it. Like, that's not going to happen. So this whole message throughout the offseason, throughout camp, and early into the season has been consistency, battling, you know, grinding, proving that you've got it, proving that you've got an end goal in mind, and you're never going to stop thinking about that. Game two, they stopped thinking about that.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
it caught them. So, you know, they jabbed back on Saturday night. I think they'll respond – well, again, tonight. You know, I do. I think the Leafs, I don't know if they're going to win or lose, but I don't expect them to mail anything in. I think they'll play well.
And they got a busy week, too. What do they got? Monday, Wednesday, Friday, correct?
Sunday, yeah.
Friday, Sunday. So you got four games in 6 days. Like, you're not messing around here, and it's going to be like that the whole time. We're going to be talking on the show how they didn't have it. The minds weren't there. The legs weren't there. It's going to happen because they're playing so much. I don't know where you're at. Like, were you surprised Spez on waivers? Were you surprised Dell on waivers? Like, Spez has surprised me because he doesn't make anything. You know, I know Robertson, they got to bring in a player in that, but nobody's going to grab, or nobody did grab Spezza. But I thought that was, it was a guy that, you know, maybe they knew that wasn't going to get grabbed.
And I think that's exactly what has become clear here is, well, yeah, I mean, the maneuvers are going to be strange all year. Like, trying to track the waiver wire is going to be a difficult
procedure. I said it today. Have you ever seen people get into a frenzy over backup third string goaltender waivers?
Exactly.
Everyone's like, oh my God, Edmonton can't get Dell now. Oh my, I'm just like, if you're really relying on getting Dell, what the hell kind of state are you in anyway?
You're in big trouble, and there's a chance, with all due respect, he could be waived again in 3 days. And then
kidding.
Like, guys like that, I kind of feel for the third-string goalies, I think, are just going to go around in a loop. You know, like, it kind of feels like that might end up happening all year. But I think with Spezza, like, what was reported was accurate. Like, my understanding is he's not going anywhere else. He's playing in Toronto. You can call that collusion. You can call it circumventing, whatever you want. But we were discussing it over the weekend on the group chat. I don't think he was ever going to get touched out of respect to Jason Spezza, you know, because I think the other teams understand that. Been in the league for like 1,300 games, been around forever, good guy, you know, and I think they were like, we're not going to grab him. I don't know if they were going to grab him anyway. I mean, he's 30, he's almost 38. He's a fourth line player now in his career. It's not as if they put, you know, Austin Matthews on waivers or something.
No, if you want to grab him out of spite, go ahead. But the guy's retiring. He's not showing up.
I don't think they ever would do that. I think GMs throughout the league, it is kind of an old boys club, and Spez is a part of that. And I think out of respect to him, they're like, we're not going to do that to you. So I think I wouldn't be shocked if he got waived a few times this year. Maybe you don't have to waive him anymore. I'm not sure how that works now that he's gone through.
10 games in 28 days. I don't know if that's abbreviated because of the abbreviated season, so there's probably a rule there. I thought in the back of my mind, and I just saw a little noise coming out of Ottawa, like, you know, maybe the Sens grab him, let him finish, you know, finish kind of that Senator and all of that.
But I think that team would be the last one because they'd probably talk to him first, and if he said, I'm not coming, they'd be like, okay, out of respect to you, we're not going to do that to you and force you to retire.
Right.
It's one thing if you're Aaron Dell, if you're a guy who's barely in the league, there's how many guys in the league have been around longer, have played more games than Spezza? You know, I think the same thing would apply. Yeah, like if Thornton was ever on waivers, I think teams would be like, not grabbing him. Chara, not grabbing it. Like, out of respect to you. And it might open up a door for these teams to be able to maneuver a little bit in ways that other teams maybe don't have access
flexibility.
To. You know, that kind of flexibility where it's like, this guy, we know he's not going to get picked up. Everyone's agreed. Gentleman's agreement. So in and out, in and out. And I don't think we can waste too much time talking about the waiver wire all year because it's going to happen almost on a daily basis.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
It's all cap manipulation. And the story is tonight they're going 11 forward, 7D.
Yeah, letting and getting in. I mean, it was weird for me. I don't know how you guys felt where he didn't start the season. And then Keefe's explanation is, you know, it's shortened, no training camp, no games, kind of letting him get the lay of the land where –
Maybe it was a message to the other kid, too.
Dermot. Yeah.
Saying, you're not, everything's handed to you, and we'll let you stew on this and marinate on this a little bit. And I thought that Dermot kid's been good. I thought he's been good the first couple of games. He hasn't done anything kind of risky, and maybe that's what they want, but he's been solid back there. He skated well. He's moved the puck up, and maybe that's what they're looking for from him. Nothing too risque, though, from him.
No, they're going to need more minutes out of their depth, though, as the season goes on.
Sure. Yeah, that's what it is.
There's that third pairing's playing like 12 minutes a night. You know, at some point, ideally, you're up at around 14, 15.
Well, you got to get them there because we just talked about four games and six nights. You got to use everyone, and you have to use your depth. Like, we're going to see it right through the league. You know, teams are going to be forced to, you know, on a given night, you know, dress different players, and there's going to be injuries, guys blocking shots and all of that. Like, Nick Robertson. You know, poor kid, like out for a month. Like, I worry about that kid. Like, I think he's going to be a great NHLer. I just don't know if they're force feeding him into the lineup. Like, he might be a guy that needs a little bit more seasoning to be an everyday NHLer.
Yeah, he's still a young guy, and he's not a big guy either.
That's always the standard comments, guys, though, when somebody gets hurt. I was about to think of it, too. It's like, man, is it too much for him to be at this level? That's the standard comment everybody says, whether you're an analyst like us.
I thought of it. I don't know.
Or just a casual fan. It's like, but if he was scoring goals, you'd be like, man, this guy's been ready for 2 years. As soon as there's an injury, you're like, man, this was force-fed, not ready for the NHL. That's the initial reaction that comes to mind every time a kid that age, that stature, and that size gets hurt. You're like, maybe he shouldn't be in the NHL. And it just – That's the standard reaction.
I'm just going off of what I saw in the bubble last year. Like, I clearly did not think he was ready to play in the NHL physically. And that's tough because you get put in right into the playoffs.
Oh, Jamie, there was an argument.
Maybe the
best thing for him would have been started the season till Christmas time with the Marlies. But guess what? There
can't
is no
it,
Marlies.
Right? Yeah. But that's the point, I guess. Like, last year, it was evident for me that he just wasn't ready. And I think he's a talented guy, but, you know, everything with him is get the puck and take a slap shot at the net. Like, eventually you have some vision out there and relax and play.
He's really excited on the
ice.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, he's got a little bit of that Yakupov, like, you know, really fired up to play, and he's a high-energy guy. And I think he's going to be a fantastic player. But they have depth now that they don't have to force-feed him in. And you're right. Oh, that's the standard line, and I probably am echoing it, where – You know, I just hate to see a kid like that get injured, especially
2 minutes into a new season.
2 minutes in.
Because now he's got to go through rehab for a month. He's got to get back in somebody's good books to look at him during a practice and say, oh, yeah, remember, this guy's good. And he's got to get everybody's confidence back. And then he's got to do it himself on the ice.
Yeah.
So he's got to start a whole procedure that is just such a big one for a young player's career. It's a big hill, and just start it all over again.
Especially in a league like this right now.
No kidding, because if your confidence goes now, it's like, man, where the hell am I at right now?
And you're right. There's no place for him to play right now. Like, they couldn't start him with the Marlies. They couldn't put him somewhere else. Like, I get it. You know, you're kind of a victim of the circumstance. And I'm not suggesting he's not going to be an NHL player. I'm not suggesting he's not going to be a really good player. I believe he does. I think he's got all the skill and the will and all of that. But it's just when I saw him get injured the other night, my heart or my stomach kind of sank. I was like, ah, I just felt bad for him.
Yeah, it sucks. It's early for him, but he's got his whole career ahead of
him.
Hopefully it's not going to be that big of a burden. But I think this also comes down to the expectation and the makeup of the team. If he's in Ottawa, Detroit, you know, a couple of other places, yep. he comes back and he plays. And it's like, we'll find his spot. Truth is, he's going to have to battle now, and they're not going to gift wrap anything to anybody. And it doesn't matter if you're the highest ranked, you know, prospect or not. It won't make a difference. We'll get back into the NFL weekend. Sal Capaccio coming up, Bills reporter. He was in the building. It was cool, man. That was loud. There were like 7,000 people there, and it was loud on Saturday night. And the Bills are off to the AFC title game for the first time in a long time. Ray Ferraro coming up, Marcellus Wiley, Sam Mitchell on the Raptors game tonight, and other storylines around the NBA. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Ray Ferraro in about 20 minutes, Marcellus Wiley in about 45 minutes on the NFL, the NHL. We got the NBA, the Raptors, and the Maple Leafs are in action tonight. And that was the case on Saturday night as well. Both teams winning, so that's always a good thing. The Raptors have won a couple games in a row now, and they're 4-8. They got Dallas in town down in Tampa tonight. And Dallas coming off a game last night. Luka Doncic is doing exactly what we expected he would do. He's MVP candidate right there with a bunch of other superstars in the league.
I got snuck into watching that game, and he's looking a little meaty himself.
Yep.
I don't know if he doesn't look the same as he did last year.
He's always been a little bit.
Dude, he's big. Not like he is right now. I noticed it. And I don't know if it's because I'm a beef master as well. I could tell that he's been eating.
Well, how about James Harden? You see the pictures of him over there?
Dude, what is that? I think he was wearing one of those pillows on his gut, and it wasn't even his gut.
That's
he
a got legit to Brooklyn. Theory.
He got to Brooklyn, and it was like this guy shredded.
Yeah, he's cut. Like, so, I think it's more about the angle. I think it's more about like,
I bet
the baby
you he
blue
was
color.
Like, I want to embarrass myself in Houston. I'm going to wear this fake pillow to make it look like I'm a fat pig, and I'll get traded.
So you think he was wearing a fat suit?
Yes. For warm-up.
Yes, he was one of the clumps.
Don't you want that to be true? Like, I don't think it is, but wouldn't it be the greatest sports? It's not even
it
a scandal. It's just a brilliant move.
He
wanted out of Houston. He went with the fat suit. The baby blue. I think it's the color. Like, baby blue is the worst. If you're a meaty dude, I've been that guy before. Baby blue is your enemy if you have 15% body fat or north. Anyway, the Bills are off to the AFC Championship game. That was a wild game on Saturday night. The crowd was going nuts. The wind was going crazy. And the Bills never run the ball anymore. All they do is throw it. But they're off to Kansas City next week. Here is Bills reporter and host from WGR down in Buffalo, Sal Capaccio. What's up, Sal?
You're right. They don't throw the ball anymore. I mean, they don't run the ball anymore. They just throw it. That's all they do. They just throw the ball every play.
It's incredible.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't remember ever seeing that before. And I think the broadcast did a good job of continuing to bring it back up. They never threw the ball. First and 10, or never ran the ball. First and 10, throw. Second and 7, throw. It didn't matter. They just threw the ball all night.
Yeah, look, there was a game earlier this year. I believe it was at the Jets. Bills won 18-10. I think the Bills threw every play. They ran the ball like three times in the first half. And Brian Daboll, after the game, admitted that he was disappointed that they ran the ball three times. I don't know if he used the word disappointed. He said his plan was not run the ball at all in the first half.
Wow.
I don't think he wanted to run the ball here either, guys. His first handoff came with 3 minutes left in the first half, and that was only because they were going against the wind and down in their own end. I literally just got off. He's actually still going, wrapping up his Zoom conference. I was on with him just a few moments ago, and someone was asking about that. You know, he said watching the Ravens stop Derrick Henry last week played a lot of his thinking in the preparation for facing them this week. So I just think he just scrapped the run game and said, heck, we're going to throw it. We got Josh Allen on the team.
Sal, can you talk about the vibe at all? It seems like if you're a Buffalo sports fan, you're getting ripped off right now, where people want to be in the streets, at the bars, at the stadium, and this big moment happens. They've been waiting for such a long time, and they can't really embrace it and celebrate it.
Yeah, it's been tough this year because of that. You know, I've seen some memes and some jokes saying that, you know, this was God's way of making sure that the Bills, you know, we don't burn down our city or whatever because the Bills are good and we can keep people kind of at a distance and not having to do all that stuff, right? Because they haven't been able to go there and they haven't been able to experience that and all that kind of stuff. But I feel for them. I've been in that stadium all year. It's been cavernous. You know, it's been empty, and that stinks. But, you know, here we are now, and a chance for 6,700 people over the last 2 weeks to go, and they do sound like 67,000. It's been crazy. You know, people are finding their own way to be a part of it. They're finding their own way to celebrate. Social media brings a lot of people together, things like that. So, you know, here's the response I give people when they say how much it stinks this year. I say, yes, I agree, but you know what? This team's going to be good for a while, guys. So we're going to have plenty of time, I think, coming up here to all get back together and enjoy it.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think many of us saw this coming this year, maybe not the AFC Championship game, but the AFC East up for grabs, and I don't see why the Bills can't hang on to it for quite some time. And the weather on Saturday night, you know, we're up here in Toronto. We get it. We know it. You know, we're all in the same weather patterns more or less. But it always bothers me when I hear people, you know, down in Florida or in L.A. saying this is unacceptable. It you know, makes the game feel a little bit incomplete. I think it was Kurt Warner who suggested playoff games should only be played in domes. How do you respond to that, Sal? Because I thought it was beautiful. Like, the elements were insane on Saturday night. And I like that about football in January.
I remember an old NFL Films clip of Bill Cowher talking to one of his players back in the 90s. And it was like cold and windy or something. And he went up to him pregame. And he said, yeah, I like 70 and sunny too, but that ain't football. That's what he said to him. And I remember that sometimes, yep. Right? You know, a lot of us, we grew up with knowing, you know, especially here in Western New York, this is the way you play the game. And there used to be a mentality of, you know, it's toughness and things like that. And sure, I mean, I get it. To be honest with you, like, the better weather, the domes, it would favor the Bills now. If the Bills played in pristine weather conditions or in a dome, I mean, that's how they are scoring as much as they score a lot this year. But, look, this is football. No matter where you play and no matter what the elements are, you've got to fight through it. And I'll tell you this. I disagree with what Kurt Warner said because it is strategic, too. The Bills have built their team with their quarterback to be able to play in weather like this. This is a true story, guys. I remember when Josh Allen was drafted, the night of the draft, I was down at One Bills Drive. I was in the media room, basically. And it was a late night. I'm walking out, and I see a Bills executive, you know, and late night for him. We're like, hey, you know, Josh Allen. And he said to me and myself and my buddy Josh Reed down here at Channel 4 in Buffalo, he looked right at us and he said, look, we didn't draft this kid to win games in September. We drafted this kid to win games in January. And that really always stuck with me, that, you know, that's how you construct your team sometimes, knowing that those elements can be like that.
Yep, you have to, absolutely. And it's paid off early into his career. We're chatting with Sal Capaccio of WGR down in Buffalo, Bills reporter and host. And now you look ahead to next weekend, where obviously I'm sure in Buffalo the focus will be on, you know, the strategy of the team, the health of the team. But for me, it's got to be almost 90% about Mahomes, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he plays,
yeah.
What are you getting? If he doesn't play, the Bills, like, the line is going to swing. The Bills would be big favorites, I think, if Chad Henne's playing. I don't expect that he will. But that's got to be the storyline, doesn't it? Like, what happens with Mahomes? And if he's out, it's green light special time for the Bills.
It's the biggest story of the week, no doubt, as far as this game is concerned. His health status, his participation, things like that. I think all indications are that he's going to play from what we've heard from Andy Reid, things like that. And then, you know, I think you just would expect it, right? You'd expect him to probably, you know, be out there. But I reminded our listeners this morning, hey, even if you're in concussion protocol, you can practice. So just because, you know, people always say that, how's the guy practicing? He's in concussion protocol. There's different stages. He's allowed to practice. I think we're going to see that this week. We're going to see him practice. We're going to still hear he's in concussion protocol. And eventually by the end of the week, he'll probably get clear. But from Bill's side of things, they have to prepare for Patrick Mahomes, but they also at least have to make their players recognize, hey, if he's not in and Chad Henne's in, this is what they may go to. Andy Reid's not going to change his playbook for the two quarterbacks. He just would change the philosophy on, you know, exactly how they would go about it. That's all. And I think the Bills would have to be prepared in that sense. But that's going to be the story, no doubt, all week. And look, they have a couple other guys. Clyde Edwards-Helaire didn't play last week. Sammy Watkins didn't play last week. It looks like they're going to be good to go from the early reporting that's already gone on. So there's a few injury storylines, but that is the biggest story this week, at least early in the week.
It's going to be an awesome week, potentially an awesome 3 or 4 weeks down in Buffalo and beyond. So enjoy it, Sal. Really appreciate you taking the time. Thank you for doing this.
Okay, anytime, guys. Thank you.
There he is, Sal Capaccio of WGR down in Buffalo, Bills
host. Alan can write his story, too. Like, he can go from really good young quarterback to absolute legend if he can slay the dragon. And it wasn't too long ago we were talking about, can this guy protect the football? Can he avoid the turnovers and the stupid passes and the guesswork and the high the high risk plays, and now he's dominant, but can he actually go in there and get the job done? It'll take him to another level. He doesn't have to be Patrick Mahomes. He just has to continue to find a way to help that team win. If he does it, he goes to legend status.
Legendary status.
Yeah, he's found another level, though. He's a good player.
He looks outstanding. Like, yeah, he's really a really good player. Like, speaking of WGR, I remember listening to them postgame last year after that debacle in Houston in the second half and in the fourth quarter. Like, remember how ugly that was? The Bills had that game, and Allen really, really crumbled.
That's right.
Moment.
And sometimes it's in the most critical moment where it's almost a choking type mechanism where you start doing stupid stuff.
And they were freaking on the air, and the callers were like, I don't trust them. I don't think they got the right guy. And then a year later, it's like he may beat Mahomes and take this team to a Super Bowl. And, you know, to put it into perspective, Deshaun Watson is probably available right now. The Bills aren't even thinking about making that
That's
call.
Right.
Not
That's
even
right. And you don't want to be
it.
Lamar Jackson, the guy who we just beat the week before, who's known as the stud, but guess what he can't do?
Can't win the big game. Can't throw the ball. That narrative is right back at the forefront now for Lamar.
Sure it
Can
is.
Can he throw it? You know, that pick was – that was a bad – that was a horrible interception, man. He basically told the whole stadium, the whole world, this is where I'm going. You know, I snapped the ball, and that's exactly where I'm throwing it. And then pick six the other way, 100-yard pick six. Incredible.
Fired up.
That's
Bring
crazy.
Me back La Bamba. Give me La Bamba coming back
Okay, we'll start
in.
The next hour with La Bamba.
Let's go.
Ray Ferraro will join us, and Marcellus Wiley coming up at 5:30. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.